Greetings to each of you in Jesus' name this morning. What a privilege it is to be here. I was thinking this morning about how the time changes things. And looking at your faces, there were some men that I remember coming here that I always thought were old men and are still old men this morning. But there's some young men here that were youth, and I thought they were young boys, and now I see children on their lap, and time moves along and changes a few things. So let's remember, as Brother Larry was saying, that time is moving on. But we have this privilege of today, and let's enjoy that and make it all that God intends for us to make out of it. I was curious to know what you're doing to find meaning in life. What are you doing to find meaning in life? What are the things that you do that bless your life and that you would recommend for other people to do? What do you do to find meaning? And I thought maybe I'd take some cues from the devotional leader who asked for a response from the children. And I thought maybe I'd ask for some response from the older folks, and I'm not sure if my cues are that it's okay to ask for a response or if I won't get any. So what are things that you think of that are a blessing? And I don't think there's any such thing as a wrong answer here necessarily, but what are you doing to find blessing? What would you recommend to your brothers or sisters that they could do?
Reach out and touch other people's lives.
Reach out and touch other people's lives. Any more?
Be thankful at all times.
Be thankful.
Follow Jesus.
Raising our families for the Lord.
All right. Amen.
Pray for others.
All right. Pray for others. Did we get the whole list? There's just a lot of things, depending on what you're thinking about. And thank you for the response you gave. And I should have thought about each one and really evaluated. But how much of what we do and what we enjoy in life is in relation to our relationships with other people and serving others or being a blessing to others? And I think that quite a number of those were. For a message this morning, for starters, I invite you to Hebrews 10. For a message title, I'll give you at least two options. First title I'll give you is Relating to One Another, Relating to One Another, or simply Relationships. I don't know how many of you take notes here this morning, but if you find it difficult to take notes, and so you usually don't because it's too hard, I'll make it real easy for you this morning and just encourage you to take notes. Taking notes does two things. One, it helps you remember. The other thing is it helps keep the preacher accountable for what he teaches you. And there's a couple other benefits. But I would like to make it real easy. Over on the left-hand side of your paper, I'm going to use the word relationships as an acrostic. And you start with the letter R and we'll go down through. So I'll make it real easy for you this morning. Hebrews chapter 10, we have three verses that start with let us in verse 22 and verse 23 and verse 24. We're going to start in verse 23 and read through verse 25. Hebrews 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Things to fill our life with. We maybe should have read verse 22 as well. Each of them have a place. As we think about one anothering, I believe that there are 59 places in the New Testament where he uses this phrase, one another. Do this and do that to one another. We can't look at all of them this morning. So I've picked out these 13. If we run out of time, I have an additional 8. So there are 21 that we could very easily look at this morning. One-anothering, relationships. As we think of relating to one another, what do we think of other people? I think that as we rub shoulders with the world, many times people lift themselves up, one above another. And one of the things that we have to understand is that we're all on the same level. First of all, we're all created by God. Relating to other humans, we're all human. We're all imperfect. We all need each other. The other week, I was at a woodworker show, and I met a man there in the course of things. You know, the way life goes, you just bump into people. And for whatever reason, he told me that he's a carpenter and that he's been working at trimming out a $30 million house for several years, and he's got a lot of work there to go yet. And he was bragging about how much money he was making on the project. And so as kindly as I could, I asked him what he's doing to prepare for the next life, for eternity and life on the other side. And I could tell it kind of stumped him. But he came back with this response, and he said, "You and I are both alive today, and on that level we are equal." And that's all he had to say. I had to think about that, why he said that. He had just told me how that in many ways I think he felt like he was above average because he had a great job and a lot of profit there. But then he told me how that we are equal. But anyway, it is true that each of us that's alive here this morning share that common ground. We're each here and today. What are we making of it? Verse 24, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." What are we doing with the opportunities that stand before us? We'll come back to some of the other thoughts here. But let's start with number one. I invite you to Romans 15. Here in Romans chapter 15, we have the letter R. Romans 15. Verse 5, "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God." The word I was looking for here is the word receive. Receive one another. There's your letter R. Receive one another. You can write that down as number one. And the illustration that he gives is how we are to receive each other is how Christ received us to the glory of God. And think about that for a little bit. Think about Christ in his perfection. Perfect in nature. Full of power. Full of all goodness. And then compare that to us as sinners. We were vile and wretched and empty and helpless. You contrast the glory of God with the ugliness of carnal humanity. And it uses that as an illustration. Receive one another just as Christ received us to the glory of God. As wretched as we are, Christ receives us into his glory. So should we accept each other. This morning we have many differences in backgrounds, differences in ability, differences in personalities and in preferences, and we could just go on and on about the differences. In society, people reject other people for many reasons. Talk about social profiling and how that people reject other people based on skin color, on ethnicity, on their ethnic group, on their language, what language we speak. And if someone doesn't speak my language, then they're not very much. They reject others because of their social status, just at a different level. What about us? What happens in the church of God? How should it be? I believe that every person should feel accepted. should feel loved and we should receive them with open arms. Why? Because that's how Jesus accepted them, and we're representing Christ, and then also because we're a part of Christ and we accept them as well. I believe that every sinner should feel the love from the church. No, not for his sin, but for who he is as a person, as a soul. And so my question to you this morning, are your arms crossed? Or are your arms open, ready to receive each other and to receive the world around you? I remember going into, well, as a lad, going to strange churches, and it was never fun to go to a strange church. I was very bashful when I was young, and of course, as we go through life, we just learn to hide that a little better, right? But anyway, I remember going to churches where there was nobody. There's no friends. But then I remember through time and even growing up when you would go someplace and there was people that would just come out of the woodwork and would welcome you, would talk to you about anything that they could find that was a connection. They looked for those things to receive you, to make you feel a part of things. And I believe that that is who we should strive to be to the world around us, to engage them in discussions and to make them not feel alone or abandoned, but to feel a part of us as Christians. Well, that's receive. Secondly, I invite you to 1 Thessalonians 5 for another one. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. What's the letter E? The word that starts with E there is edify. Edify one another, to build. Edify is to build up. We could also turn to Romans 14. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith one may edify one another. So we think of building up. You know, whatever is in our heart is going to come out. And if we're full of good things, then that's what's going to come out. And if we're full of evil things are going to spill out in our speech and in our actions. I believe that our lives should be an encouragement to help others to grow. Think about it this way. I'm sure you've had many discussions over the past week. But let your mind run through those discussions. At the end of those discussions, when it was all over, your part in the discussion, was it something, your contribution, was it something that made the other person better? Was it an encouragement for them to be stronger? Or was it a way of pushing and tearing them down? Here in the 1 Thessalonians 5 and Romans 14, we're encouraged to edify, to build up. What if God put each of our lives just like these bricks on the outside, or I didn't look, I guess it's bricks or whatever it is. What if God put each of our lives on clear display? You know, we recently purchased a house, and there was a lot of clean up, tear out work that needed done. But as we tore out a little bit, we found more that we needed to tear out. And some of this, unfortunately, back around the year of 2008-09, there was a roof that needed replaced, but it wasn't replaced until a couple years late. 2010, they finally got around to replacing the roof. And the roof is fixed up today, but unfortunately, there were 2x4s that were rotted. And there were places in the wall where as you tore away the drywall, it was all black. And the 2x4 would just put a little pressure on it and it would crumble. What if God put our church on clear display? Is there the strength in the building? Are we strong, being what we should be? And it was disappointing to tear open the walls and see those rotted 2x4s. So we said, well, you know what? We might as well just tear all the drywall out. And as we found missing insulation here, we thought, well, we might as well see where else insulation is missing. You know, after 40 years, it's just amazing what the inside of a house can look like, especially if the roof was deteriorating at some point. What about my life? Is it the building? Does it have the strength that it should be? And are we encouraging each other through edification? Number 3, John 13. We could go many different places for this one. But in John 13, Jesus taught us, in verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. I believe it's repeated at least 3 times there. Loving one another. It's a very practical teaching here. So number 3, love one another. I believe there's 14 different verses that I could turn to that would teach us to love. Love is expressed in so many ways, from the simple common courtesy, like please and thank you, to a life of sacrificial love. And I could tell you this morning about parents who are helping a handicapped child, and every day they help them go through just the basics to live, but they give hours on behalf of children. Or maybe it's a husband giving it to the wife, or the wife to the husband, just the care of sacrificial love because of handicaps. I don't know what it is in your life, but are you expressing the love and relationships that God wants you to live out from day to day? Love gives others the benefit of the doubt. Love is willing to sacrifice personal possessions for the blessing of others. We're very blessed here in America. What are we sharing with those who are not blessed as we are? You know, truly the world would be a much better place if we would all love like Jesus did. And what an example he gave to us as we just look at the life that he lived here on earth, and also think about as he came from heaven and everything that he gave and is willing to give to us all throughout eternity, the blessing of love. Fourthly, I invite you to Romans 15. Glad for those who are following along. I know that it takes some energy and effort, but it's at least one thing to keep you from your eyes going shut. And hopefully we receive a blessing from the word as it's given to us. Romans chapter 15, verse 14. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye are also full of goodness, filled with knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Admonish. Admonish is to put in mind, to caution or reprove gently. I know that age has taught many of you many lessons, and you've learned many things. Are you ready to share that with a younger brother or with somebody who simply has, maybe even is older, but hasn't learned it yet? Willing to admonish, to share something by way of guidance? Or are we quiet and let other people go down the path of destruction? I have to think of recently in the shop lunchroom on Friday around noon. Everyone was in there eating their lunch. And I came into the discussion. Actually, I came upon one fella exiting the room saying, "I tell me that I'm allowed to punch that fella." He said he won't listen to anybody. We've all been trying to tell him what a bad idea it is to buy a motorcycle, especially in Pennsylvania. The man was from Tennessee, and he was looking for cheap transportation. He was making payments on a car, but it looked like he didn't have the car. He was trying to line up its purchase. It's going to take too long, and so he wanted to buy a motorcycle. Well, you know how the weather's been this year. A lot of rain, and you know what's coming. He wouldn't listen to anybody. There was around 8 people in that room trying to convince him of why he shouldn't buy a motorcycle. Well, that was Friday. On Saturday, he went and looked at a motorcycle, and he didn't like that one, so he didn't get that one, but he found another one. And late Saturday afternoon, he returned to the area with a 1,000cc Yamaha, or Honda, whatever it was, a powerful bike. And he decided that he really wanted to go back to Tennessee for Sunday morning the next morning. He had a driver's permit, but he didn't have the proper license on the bike. But he really wanted to get to Tennessee the next morning. And so, there again, the brother said, "No, I don't think you should go. That sounds like a terrible idea." But his desire to be there overtook the admonishment of the people in his life. And so he got on the road, and from what we understood, around 2 o'clock Sunday morning, he was clocked doing 150 in Virginia. Needless to say, he spent most of the day Sunday sitting in the jail. Why? Because he wouldn't take admonishment. You think about the responsibility there. I believe that those who knew his desire had the responsibility, first of all, to admonish. And so in this case, it wasn't that those weren't willing to admonish, but he wasn't willing to listen. But there's a lot of terrible things that are stopped by simply the older and the experienced sharing with the younger and the inexperienced. Mm-hmm. We're called to admonish. No, I don't think that's such a good idea. We're called to say that, to open our mouth and to share that wisdom. I don't know what the end of all that will be. That was only a few weeks ago. There's other motorcycle stories I could tell you. But anyway, it's not time for stories this morning. Number 5, Colossians 3. Over in Colossians 3, I guess we'll just go to 16. There's a lot of good verses here. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." The letter T, teaching and admonishing one another, teaching one another. And I know this is close to admonish. Admonish is often when we see a need or we see someone going in the path of error, but teaching is simply imparting knowledge and understanding. We were admonished here this morning to teach our children the meaning of different things that we do, and I appreciated that. We're called to be teachers. Think about the important things that I know and share that with the next generation. It's not easy to teach. It's more easy to be taught, or at least to hear the teaching anyway. But as fathers and mothers, we're called to teach. We're called to think about what is important and then to impart that to the rising generation and also to the world around us. Number 6, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another." In honor preferring, the letter I. You know, it's natural in life for each of us to look out for ourselves. You know, if I don't take care of myself, who is going to take care of me, right? But the Bible teaches us in honor preferring. It's natural for us to look out for ourselves, but the Bible calls us to look out for other people. To give other people their preferred place. Give them the recognition. Give them the extra benefit. In honor preferring. You know, it's always interesting as you go through life just to relate to different people and see how they either take all the credit to themselves, or they just, I remember a man that didn't seem like whatever he did that was, he did well, he was always deflecting the credit to somebody else. He was, somebody gave him the blessing for something, he would often pass it off to his wife. Well, you know, it's the wife that he has that supports him and this or that. And then there's other people who, you know, let's just say in this podium. The podium is beautiful, someone might say. It's a great job. And the brother who installed it would take all the credit for what's up here. You know, there's people in life that do that. They didn't have anything to do with building it, but they take the credit for one little part of it. What does God think when we relate to others that way? In church life, in home life, we try to take the credit and the recognition for everything. No, we're called to give recognition where recognition is due. And often that means lifting others up and honor preferring one another. Number 7, Romans chapter 12, verse 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. The letter O, of the same mind one toward another. Of the same mind. We think of being of the same mind. We think of unity. As you notice here in verse 16, what does he teach goes right along with unity? Mind not high things, but condescend. Be not wise in your own conceits. He teaches unity and humility. I believe this morning that unity and humility go together. We could back up to verse 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Humility and unity. I believe that in church life, we're called to seek common ground. Seek common ground. You know, we often agree on 95% of the things that we discuss. But too often, all we can think about is the 5% that may be our differences. Whether that's in church life or maybe in married life or on the job. People that focus on their differences eventually divide. People that focus on their things that they agree on unite. This morning we're called to be of the same mind, to pull together, to live in unity. Now, that's a challenge to live that out from day to day. Something that probably we as men struggle with more than the women. To live together in unity. Back to Hebrews 10, where we started out this morning. We'll go there for the letter N. Hebrews 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. I'd like to lift out the phrase, not forsaking each other. This morning you're here, and that's where you're supposed to be. But what about Wednesday night? What about at the work bee or the many things that you're called to do together? Not forsaking each other. You think about all the blessing that happens when we gather together. There is so much that is given by way of encouragement, whether that's the songs that are led. In fact, that's one of the things that it mentions is our singing, the way it's an encouragement. There's so much that is said and done as we come together and the blessing that happens there. And there's also so much that is said when we deliberately stay away from the assembly of the saints. So I would just like to encourage you in that we would not forsake. You know, when the church doors are open, let's be there. At least that's the way it is for me. I need the brotherhood. I need the church. And there's so much that When I come to the house of God, there's so much blessing in that, that I don't know, I don't believe that I would fare too well if I was a Christian all alone with no encouragement. Of course, then what happens there is important too. Get there and then make it a time of blessing. Not forsaking. Number nine, Ephesians 5:21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submitting yourselves. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves, yea, all of you, be subject. Subjection and submission go together. The Bible teaches the authority of a group voice. The Bible also teaches the authority of the government, the church, of parents. And as we relate to each other in life, there are times when we need to be the one taking the authority. But there's also times where we need to be the one under authority. And we need to find our place submitting one to another. As I think about this choice that I'm making, have I considered my brother's conscience? Have I considered the group voice? Have I considered whether this will be a blessing or a hindrance to whoever I'm relating to? Submitting one to another. You know, most of us in this day and age, we're taught to do whatever I want. Who cares about what other people think or what they want? But the Bible teaches us to make our choices in light of where other people are, submitting one to another. 1 Peter 4, turn with me there for the letter H. 1 Peter 4, verse 9. Well, we'll read verses 7 through 9. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among you, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We see two verses there where it says one to another. The first one in verse 9, hospitality one to another. And verse 10, so minister the same one to another. We're looking at the one in particular in verse 9, hospitality. Hospitality one to another. Hospitality means to entertain, to take time to serve the needs of others, especially to strangers. Why are we so afraid of strangers? I remember Brother Duane using the illustration of the young man who had to go and knock on a door for whatever reason it was. As he approached this door, and I suppose many of you have done this, especially as a child, you're sent on an errand, and you need to go talk to somebody, and as you approach the door, you're scared to knock on the door. You're scared of the person you might meet. You don't know them. And so as you approach the door, your hands are shaking and you're clamming up, what am I going to say and how am I going to say it? And you gain up the courage and knock on the door. Meanwhile, the other person, maybe it's an older lady, who's knocking on my door? And they come to the door in fear, afraid of what they're going to see. And as the door opens, you have two fearful people facing each other. How crazy is that, you know? Why are we so scared of strangers? I wish I could say I'm not. As I face you this morning, there's a certain amount of, I don't know you. I don't know what you think or what you'll say. Hospitality. Let's break those barriers down. Relax. Enjoy serving. You know, hospitality takes a couple of things. First of all, you have to have the resources to serve. It takes some provision. It takes some humility. It takes a bit of effort to make it happen. But let's use hospitality as we have opportunity There's many different opportunities that we have to give hospitality, or when others are in need, we can go by the other way. Well, I don't have opportunity. I don't want the opportunity. Number 11 invites you to Acts chapter 19 for this one. This is a word we don't use very often. To look a little harder for this one. Acts chapter 19 in verse 38. Wherefore, if Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with him have a matter against any man, the law is open, and there are deputies. Let them implead one another. Implead one another. What does the word implead mean? I had to look that one up. Implead means to be honest with each other's needs. To bring into account and hold accountable is the definition that I found. And this takes being straightforward. Recently I met a man who gave me a whole list of things that he had against someone else. And how that he's ready to deal with it. And then as that man later on entered into a conversation that I had with three of them, the man didn't say anything about the whole list of things that he was ready to call the law on against this other person. They weren't brothers in the church. He did allude to the fact that he needs to be careful in what he does. And I knew what was behind that. But he was, at this point, he was not willing to be honest with all of the grievances that he has against this other man. Here it says, if you have an issue, be honest with the issue and take it and deal with it and let it go. Bring it to justice. And yet, I guess, to give a little bit of balance to that, Romans 14, 13 said, let us not therefore judge one another anymore. Judging another's actions. Also thinking about this point, some time ago, a brother gave a devotional talking about a man who did that for him. There were some struggles between him and some other brothers in the church, and there was an older man that said, I understand that there's issues here. Why don't y'all just come together? And he was bringing them to implead each other. To bring their issues that they had in their heart and just come and lay them out on the table and be honest. And his testimony of that, it was a blessing to go and just work through it. And when it was done, you could put it aside and move on in life. But if we're not willing to implead, to be honest with what's there, that stuff just festers and festers and grows. But as we deal with it, we can put it in its place and let it behind us. Number 12, Mark chapter 9. Here in the book of Mark, we have this one. Verse 50. Salt is good. But if the salt have lost his saltness, wherewith will ye season it? Have ye salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another. Peace. We talked about impleading so we can find peace. Romans 14, 19. Let us therefore follow after things which make for peace. 1 Corinthians 12 says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And I believe that is talking about no schism, meaning that there is peace there. You know, there is a place for a difference of opinion, and in that there is a place for an honest debate. Some people love debates and thrive on them. They're always trying to pick an argument because they love to debate. A man told me this week, he said, I can win any argument that you want to have. Pick a subject, let's argue. I said, no, I'm not interested. He wanted to show his superiority. Here it says, seek peace. There is a time for an honest debate, but there's also a time to seek peace, to lay aside our differences, and to live with the respect of other people, even in spite of our differences. Just be honest that we don't agree. But I love and respect you anyway. Live in peace. And last of all, number 13, invite you to John. John chapter 13, verse 14. It sounded like you all just had communion and you've likely read these verses or ones similar to them. Verse 13, ye call me Lord and Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Galatians 5:13. What are we doing when we wash each other's feet? Galatians 5:13. It took you there because of what it means. And he's talking later on in those verses, he talks about servanthood. But over in Galatians, he says it specifically, verse 13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. The letter S there is serve. Serve one another. I believe that as we rub shoulders with our families, with our brotherhood, we should be asking this question: how can I bless someone else with my life today? How can I be a blessing? A carnal person says that everything needs to come my way. How can I serve myself, lift myself up? Jesus said there is blessing in giving, in serving. Let's serve one another. I don't know if you got them all. I'll just go back over the list. Receive, edify, love, admonish, teach, in honor preferring, of the same mind, not forsaking the assembly, submitting, hospitality, implead, peace, and serve. This morning I believe that if you fill your life with these 13 things, that your life will be full and your relationships will be full. Because I believe that it's God's way. Doesn't always feel like the right way, but it is God's way, and I believe that it works. God bless you and your relationships at home, at work, and here at church. And I wish God's blessing on you. Let's kneel for prayer.